We'll have Rabbi Grummet. A pleasure. It's been a long, long time since Rabbi Grummet has graced us with his wonderful insights, which we'll hear for the next half an hour, and then we'll take a 15-minute break and have the second half of the program. So Rabbi Grummet, live from Yerushalayim, master teacher in Tanakh, Bakasha. What did we agree to at Har Sinai?
Okay, so this year we are going to be learning about what exactly did we get at Har Sinai. It's one of the questions I get often from students. There's a lot of confusion about that. And I asked my students, what did Bnei Yisrael get at Har Sinai? Some of them think they got a Torah scroll. Some people think that Hashem gave Moshe the Luchot right there on Shavuot. He gave them the Luchot. Now, when you look in the Chumash, you realize that neither of those things are true. And in fact, most of the things that we think happened at Har Sinai are not true. At least at Har Sinai, the way, on that day, whether it's Shavuot or not, and what we're going to do, in the next half hour, is going to learn through the Psukim, and we're going to discover that there was something that was supposed to happen, there was something that did happen, and the thing that was supposed to happen didn't happen, but didn't happen then, but it did happen at a different time. Okay, so with that as the background, what we're going to do is we're going to learn through read through Perek Yutet in Sefer Shmot. If you have a Chumash in front of you, that's great. I'm going to share my screen, in which there's going to be the text that we're studying is going to be up on the screen. And then so we'll spend about half the time looking at Shmot Perek Yutet, the 19th Perek of Shmot, and the rest of our time looking at the 24th Perek of Sefer Shmot, which is essential for really getting a handle on what's happening over here. So let me share my screen now. And you should all be able to see in front of you the a source sheet. I would send it to everybody, but if you have a Chumash, you've got all the words there. There's nothing outside of the Chumash that's there. All right. And all I've done over here is done a little bit of layout on the page, and we're going to see exactly what that is. We're told that Bnei Yisrael come to Midbar Sinai in the beginning of the third month.
Rabbi, can you make the screen a slightly bigger? On the
I can do that. In fact, let me take the document and let me enlarge the document a little bit. Just a minute, let me see.
I guess maybe at the bottom, yeah, I'm not sure. But then we don't see the whole thing. I don't know how to widen it. This is...
Hold on. Wait a second.
That's a little better.
Is this better now?
Yeah. Much better. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Thank you for pointing that out. Bnei Yisrael, come to Har Sinai. It is the beginning of the third month. Let's say this coming Friday. Friday is Rosh Chodesh. B'chodesh HaShlishi, let's say Bnei Yisrael. I'm reading at the top of the page. They came to Har Sinai. Okay, giving a little bit of background of where they came from, where they came to. Hashem calls Moshe up the mountain, and let me just scroll right to where we're about to start reading. And here's what he tells Moshe. And he calls Moshe up the mountain, and he says, "Ko tamar levet Yaakov etagei levnei Yisrael." This is what I want you to say to Bnei Yisrael. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. I lifted you up on eagle's wings. I brought you here. And now we get to the critical line. This is what Hashem wants. If you listen to what I have to say and you observe my brit, then you will be for me special. You'll be for me special from all the other nations. For all the world is mine, but you're going to be special. You'll be for me a kingdom of Kohanim, a goy kadosh, and a holy nation or a nation set apart. That's what I want you to present to Bnei Yisrael. Okay. So Moshe is supposed to present this to Bnei Yisrael. And he does. If you look on the left-hand column, I lined up over here what Hashem says and what Moshe does, what Moshe or Bnei Yisrael say and do. So on the left-hand column, right parallel to that, Vayavol Moshe, Pasuk Zayin, Vayavol Moshe Vayikar Lezikne Ha'am. So Moshe goes and calls all the elders, Vayasem Lifnehem Eit Kol HaDvarim Ha'ele Asher Tzivahu Hashem. He places before them all these things that God had instructed him. Which things? Exactly the things in the right-hand column. That's what Moshe says. And now, everybody knows what Bnei Yisrael responded. We all know this. We learned this when we were in the third grade. We heard the Midrash when we were in kindergarten. We heard the sermons. Every year since then, the rabbis in shul love to talk about this. What did Bnei Yisrael respond? That's what everybody thinks. Guess what? Let's take a look at what the Chumash actually says. Vaya'anu chol ha'am yachda vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Whatever Hashem said, we'll do. We thought they said na'aseh v'nishma. That's really nice. But it doesn't say that in my Chumash. It doesn't say that in the Sefer Torah. They said na'aseh. V'nishma is not there. Okay. We're going to leave out the nishma for a minute. Okay. And here we have Hashem says, I want you to do all these things. And Bnei Yisrael said, we'll do whatever you tell us. You know, you're the boss. They watched him do, the 10 Makot. They watched him do Yitziat Mitzrayim. They watched him do Kriyat Yam Suf. He says, I want you to do this. They say, okay, we'll do it, whatever you want. And Moshe apparently is very thrilled with their response because the first thing he does, and this is continuing on that left-hand side, Vayashev Moshe et divrei ha'am el Hashem. Moshe takes what they said and brings it back to God. So Moshe, Hashem said, do you want it? They said, well, do it. Moshe's thrilled. He runs back to Hashem and says, don't do it. Okay, what would I expect the next thing to be? They said they'll do it. So what should come next? Hashem should start telling them what to do.
Here's what
Something
you
else
have to
happens.
Do.
Aseret HaDibrot.
Aseret HaDibrot. Yeah, but that doesn't happen yet. We have like two-thirds of a parak to go before we actually get there. Something else happens in between. And now I go back to the right column for Pasuk Tet. In the right column, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hine anochi ba'eilecha ba'av he'anan. I'm going to appear to you. I'm going to speak to you in the thick cloud. Ba'avur yishma ha'am b'dabri imach v'gam b'cha ya'aminu la'olam. I want them to believe in you too. What is going on over here? Hashem doesn't do what we expect him to do. Not that he needs to do what we expect him to do, but even more than that, he seems to ignore what Moshe said. He seems to ignore the fact that Bnei Yisrael said Naaseh. And Moshe is apparently a little bit perturbed by this. Bnei, you made them an offer. They said yes. Well, time to follow through. And Hashem starts talking about something completely different. Instead, right, Hashem starts talking about it. He wants them to believe in Moshe. And immediately we get Moshe's response again in the left column. Vayaged Moshe et divrei ha'am el Hashem. So Moshe goes and once again tells Hashem, says, but they said yes. What's all this extra stuff going on over here? They said yes. Aren't you happy about that? And Hashem seems to have ignored Moshe. He seems to have ignored Bnei Yisrael's acceptance of whatever it is that he's offering over here.
Right.
Let's move on just a little bit more. And it gets even stranger. Pasuk Yud. I'm going to scroll Pasuk Yud to close to the top of our screens. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Right? This is after Moshe's second time of telling him. Lech el ha'am v'kidashtam hayom u'machar. I want you to go to the people. I want you to separate them or sanctify them, whatever this happens to mean, for 2 days. Hayom u'machar. I want you to prepare them for 2 days. Let them wash their clothes. They need to be prepared for the third day. Why? On the third day, God is going to come and appear on the mountain. And then there are some other instructions about the mountain. You can't go up to the mountain. They can't touch the mountain. Anybody who touches the mountain, rocks are going to be tossed on them. They're going to die. Whether it's a person, whether it's an animal, it doesn't make a difference. And when the sounds stop, when the shofar stops, then they can go up on the mountain. Okay. Those are the continued instructions there in the right-hand column. That's in Pasuk Yud Beit and Yud Gimel. Okay. So how many days of preparation are they supposed to have?
Two
days of preparation, says Rabbi Kelman. Absolutely correct. It's a shame that Moshe didn't read this. Okay? Because when we go to the left-hand column, we see what Moshe actually tells them. Vayered Moshe min ahar el ha'am. He comes down from the mountain to the people. Vayekadesh et ha'am. Whatever that happens to mean, he does it. Hashem told him do it, and he does it. Vayechapsu simlotam. They wash their clothes. Wonderful. I want you to be prepared for 3 days. Wait a minute. Hashem said 2 days of preparation. Moshe says there are 3 days of preparation. 3 days of preparation means that if something happens on the third day, they're not prepared yet. So Moshe changes the rules. I'm not the first one to notice this. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat notices this, right? And, you know, the Chazal have all sorts of nice things to say about Moshe from this, but now we get to something that is really surprising. Because what actually happens? And I'm actually surprised that when the Gemara spoke about, you know, Moshe added a third day and Shkayach to Moshe for adding a third day of preparation, that nobody bothered to read the next Pasuk. Because Pasuk Tet Zayin tells us what happens on that third day. At the crack of dawn, on the third day, so there's thunder and lightning, and a thick cloud covers the mountain. The shofar sound is really loud. The people are terrified. Well, of course they're terrified. They're not expecting it. They're expecting something to happen on the fourth day or at the end of the third day. But instead it happens on the crack of dawn of the third day, which is supposed to be another day of preparation, which means that Moshe added a day of preparation and Hashem ignored him. Not like what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Hashem said Yishkayach and went along with it. The Chumash actually says exactly the opposite. Moshe added a third day of preparation. Hashem said, I said I'm coming on the third day. And Hashem came on the third day. And now we have this scene, right? That the scene is a terrifying scene. There's smoke coming from the mountain. There are rocks spewing from the top of the mountain. There's going to be fire. There's smoke, right? I call that a volcano, right? The mountain turned into a volcano. People are terrified. You're living at the foot of a volcano, a mountain that was a dead mountain beforehand. But when Hashem's presence comes to a mountain, even a mountain comes alive, right? What is going on over here? Hashem gives Moshe a set of instructions. Moshe changes them. There are a lot of other changes that Moshe makes. We're not going to go into all the details because this is a very short time slot. But the one significant detail that Moshe changes is how many days of preparation there are and the people are completely unprepared. Okay? This continues on. There's a lot of stuff that continues on afterwards. Where again, Hashem tells Moshe do X, and Moshe says, no, I don't need to. And Hashem says, I told you to do X, so go do it. But very strange what's happening over here. It's at the end of this perek, after Moshe finally at the very, very end does all the things that Hashem tells him, comes in Pasuk Havhei, the very bottom of your screens in the left-hand column. Okay, it's only then that Moshe goes down by Yered Moshe Elaam, by Yomer Alehem. That's when he tells them all the things in preparation that Hashem tells them. And that's when Hashem comes and we have the Aseret HaDibrot. It's not even clear that the Aseret HaDibrot happened on that third day. They may or may not have happened because Moshe makes another trip up and down the mountain on that third day. So we don't know if the Aseret HaDibrot happened on the third day that Hashem said, or whether there was another day of something happening. But either way, the third morning, B'nai Yisrael are sitting there at the bottom of the mountain, ready to get their third day of preparation going, and all of a sudden they are surprised. I'm going to posit something very, very simple over here, and then we're going to jump to Perek Kaf Aleph. I'm going to posit is that there are two things that Hashem actually presents to Moshe that Moshe should share with B'nai Yisrael. He does share them, but the distinction is very, at least to the reader, is a very fine distinction. I am sure that Moshe understood the distinction, but I am sure that people did not. And I'm just going to go back to the beginning of this parak. Okay, in the top on the right-hand side, Hashem, Pasuk Hey, Im Shamoa Tishma'u Bekoli, if you listen to my words, Ushmartem et Briti, and you adhere to my Brit, you adhere to my covenant. Those are two distinct things. One of them is to heed the instructions, to follow the instructions. The other one is to actually engage in some kind of covenantal relationship with Hashem. Those are two dramatically different things. They're as different as being an employee and a partner. When I'm an employee, my boss tells me, here's the time you have to show up, here's the time you finished, here's your checklist of things to do. I show up at the right time, I finish at the right time, and at the end of the day, I go home, I checked off all the things that I need to do, and I get my paycheck. That's an employee. A partner doesn't show up when the business opens up. Partner shows up 2 hours beforehand. He thinks about, what are all the things that have to happen today? What are the things that need to get done? What role am I going to play? What role are my other partners going to play? How can I make this business succeed? So they show up early. They don't have a checklist. And if they do, that checklist keeps expanding and changing as the day wears on. And at the end of the day, when the bell rings, the partner doesn't go home. They look back. They look at what they accomplished. They look at what they didn't accomplish. They say, they evaluate. So what do we have to do tomorrow that's going to make this even better? They sit there and they think about it. They come home tired at night. And even once they get home, they think about it. They dream about it. And the next morning, they're up at the crack of dawn, ready to hit their business all over again. They're invested. Hashem comes and says two things. Number one, I want you to listen to a certain list of commands. But number two, those commands exist within a framework. That framework is the framework of being in a covenantal relationship with Hashem. Hashem wants Am Yisrael to be his partners. Partners in what? Well, Hashem tried interacting with all of humanity. You go back to Sefer Bereishit. That's what Hashem tried doing. And it didn't work so well. So we know the stories in Sefer Bereishit. So he undid the world. He redid it. He says, okay, let's try again with Noach. That also didn't work as well as he would have liked. And then came, we had the whole story with Migdal Bavel. That didn't end up as well as Hashem liked. And then Hashem said, okay, I need to change course again. And that's in that next changing of course, instead of dealing with all of humanity, he says, I need to start with one person, one family, and let them be my emissaries to the rest of humanity. Let them carry my message to the rest of humanity. Because me dealing with all of humanity doesn't seem to work. So I need for somebody to carry that message. And of course, we all know who that is. Avraham, right? Generations later, Hashem wants to expand this. It's not enough to have a family. Now that family has grown. In Mitzrayim, that family became a nation. And now he wants to have a nation that is a nation of Kohanim, Mamlechet Kohanim. Well, what's a Kohen? A Kohen is the one who bridges between God and the people. But if the entire nation is a nation of Kohanim, then what's their job? To bridge between God and the rest of humanity. Hashem is not looking for employees. Hashem is looking for partners. Moshe comes and presents this to them. B'nai Yisrael don't understand it. And it's not surprising that they don't understand this. They just spent who knows how many hundreds of years as slaves. They're used to having masters who tell them what to do. The notion of being partners with anyone or anything is completely foreign. So when their boss tells them jump, they say how far? So they're willing to do whatever Hashem says. Na'aseh, we'll do it. But to be a partner, that makes no sense to them. So they say, okay, Na'aseh, we'll do whatever you tell us. Moshe is very excited about that. But Hashem is not. Hashem is not interested in 600,000 robots. Hashem is not interested in a nation that's going to wait for him to give instructions so that they can follow along. Hashem is interested in people who are going to be his partners in spreading his name throughout the world. That's why, as an aside, the most important mitzvah in the entire Torah is Kiddush Hashem. It is the definition, is the essence of what our job as people who receive the Torah is. The worst avera in the Torah, the worst one possible, the one for which there's absolutely no possibility of forgiveness, is Chilul Hashem. Because that is a violation of the one thing that Hashem chose us for. Moshe keeps telling Hashem, but they'll do it. And Hashem keeps ignoring him. Because Hashem's not interested in the fact that they're going to do it. So Hashem comes, he wants to establish a brit with Bnei Yisrael. And in fact, on the third day, what happens? Hashem comes, he wants to introduce himself to the people. So he descends on the mountain. There's thunder and lightning, and the mountain comes alive, and there are rocks spewing, and there's fire and smoke. And Hashem says, Shalom Aleichem, let me introduce myself. And Bnei Yisrael are running scared because they're not ready to be introduced to Hashem. They're ready to receive a list of instructions. Hashem's not interested in giving a list of instructions. And Moshe's got to go up and down the mountain a couple of times till finally it begins to get cleared up. We have the Aseret Dibrot, which I'm not going to go into now. We have Parashat Mishpatim. And then at the end of Parashat Mishpatim, we have only 6 minutes for this. I'm going to have to really move quickly over here. At the end of Parashat Mishpatim, we have Perek Kaf Dalet. The beginning of Perek Kaf Dalet sort of picks up the story, right? We had all those mitzvot, right? Which Bnei Yisrael perfectly happy receiving. But now we have something else happening. And I'm just going to jump to Pasuk Gimel. Vayavo Moshe vayisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem ve'et kol ha-mishpatim. Moshe comes and tells the people two things. One of them is kol divrei Hashem. And we had that language back in Perek Yutet. He's telling them two things, kol divrei Hashem and the mishpatim. The mishpatim is Parashat Mishpatim. And they all responded in unison. Left column. What do they say? Kol asher diber Hashem naase. So this is after the great big theophany, after the great big revelation at Har Sinai, after Hashem introduces himself, right? Bnei Yisrael is still stuck in that slave mentality of, you tell us what to do, naase, we'll do whatever you tell us. Moshe understands that something needs to happen. Something needs to break them out of that. Moshe does something highly unusual. He makes all this stuff up. Hashem never told him to do this. It's extraordinary. Pasuk Dalet. Vayichtov Moshe, I'm back on the right-hand column. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. He doesn't write down the Mishpatim. Right? In the previous Pasuk, he told them the kol divrei Hashem and the Mishpatim. Here he doesn't write the Mishpatim. They already said yes to that. But now he writes something called Kol Divrei Hashem. We don't know what that is. Vayashkein daboker, he gets up early the next morning. Vayiven mizbeach tachat ahar. Shtei mesri matziva l'shnei masar shivtei Yisrael. Moshe, the next morning, gets up and builds two structures. One of them is a mizbeach, presumably representing God. And the other one is 12 stones representing the 12 Shvatim. He sends the Na'arim, they go and they bring some korbanot. And now, let's look at what happens over here in Pasuk Vav. Vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam, half of the blood from those korbanot, vayasem ba'aganot, he puts them in some pans. B'chatzi hadam, and the other half of the blood he sprinkles on the mizbeach, zarak al mizbeach. And then he picks up something that's called Sefer HaBrit, the Book of the Covenant. What's that Sefer HaBrit? Apparently, it's that book that he had written the day beforehand that had Kol Divrei Hashem. So back in Perek Yutet, Kol HaDvarim, that Kol HaDvarim is actually the Brit. That was the essence of the covenant, what the covenant means. Moshe goes and realizes B'nai Yisrael has not accepted that. So he said, let's separate the Mishpatim, let's separate the laws from the Brit with Hashem. He writes down the Brit. He reads the Brit to them. Vayikach Sefer HaBrit Pasuk Zayin, Vayikra Be'oznei Ha'am, and he reads to them the Sefer HaBrit. The Sefer HaBrit is the book, is the thing that describes the nature of a completely different relationship with Hashem. Entering into a long-term mutual relationship, something that has never happened beforehand or afterwards in the history of humanity and their gods. Moshe says, Hashem wants to enter into a covenant with you. He reads that as he's already sprinkled the blood, half of the blood on the Mizbeach. And by the way, in covenants, Rashi points this out, but it's true all throughout the Torah and all throughout Tanakh, covenants always involve splitting. You take something, you divide it into two halves. Like if I take a dollar bill and I tear it in half, and I give you half, your half is worth nothing. My half is worth nothing. But when we put them together, we become a whole. So a nothing plus a nothing becomes a whole. And that's why the verb that is used universally throughout Tanakh to establish a covenant is lichrot brit, to cut the covenant. It always involves some kind of splitting. You heard about brit min habatarim in the previous year. So brit min habatarim, animals are split. Moshe takes half of the blood and split, and half of the blood gets split. Half it gets sprinkled on the Mizbeach to signify that Hashem is willing to enter the covenant. The other half he's holding in his hand like this. And he reads it out to B'nai Yisrael. And now you go to the left-hand column. And what did B'nai Yisrael say now? When he says, this is Brit. We're not talking about mitzvot. We're not talking about mishpatim. We're not talking about following instructions. We're talking about entering into a covenant with God, becoming Hashem's partner. Vayomru, they said, Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma didn't come before the aseret hadibrot. It came afterwards. It came afterwards because it was focused on one thing and one thing alone. Are we going to enter into a long-term relationship with Hashem and become Hashem's partners? Moshe hears that. What does he do? Pasuk chet at the very bottom of your screens. Vayikach Moshe et Adam, vayizrok al ha'am. The other half of the blood that he's been waiting. Are you going to enter this brit or not? He goes and sprinkles it on the people. Vayomer, hine dam habrit. Here is the blood of the covenant, asher karat Hashem imachem al kol hadvarim ha'ila. Again, those kol hadvarim. So what happened at Har Sinai, Bnei Yisrael was supposed to enter into a covenant with Hashem. It eventually did happen, but not until Moshe really made it happen. Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Rav Tzvi. Before you go, and since you started a couple minutes late, you want to take a quick look? There are a couple of comments in the chat box. And we have a minute break now, so we're okay. That's why the 50.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so there was, can you enlarge the sources? I mean, thank you. Who said we will do it? The elders or all the people? Well, so it was the elders, absolutely. The elders were the representatives of the people. Okay. Somebody asks, Zev Kaufman asks, can Shloshek Yamim mean for the third day? I've heard some people try to suggest that, but the words don't mean that. Chazal certainly didn't understand that. Shloshek Yamim means 3 days. It's really hard to argue that Shloshek Yamim means the third day.
Why didn't he say Shloshek Yamim? Why did he say Lish Shloshek Yamim? Why didn't he just say Shloshek Yamim? For
For
3 days?
3 days.
Does lishloshes mean 3 days?
The li is four. Shloshet yamim just means 3 days. Be prepared 3 days, as opposed to be prepared for 3 days.
Okay.
Now the question of, so I mentioned there are a lot of things that Moshe changed. He added some instructions. Al tigshu Elisha was Moshe's invention. Hashem never said that. That's part of a much bigger story. Let me just put it this way. I think it might be connected to the previous parak. In the previous parak, Moshe is visited by his father-in-law, right? Yitro, the beginning of Parashat Yitro. And Yitro goes out of his way many, many times to say, here's your wife and kids. And Moshe doesn't say hello to them. Moshe does not relate to Tzipora for 1 second. He spends all his time talking theology with Yitro. So I'm going to suggest that there might be a connection between that story and Moshe's concept of what it means to be in relationship with Hashem as involving separation from Isha. It's part of a much, much bigger picture about Moshe, and we can do an entire series on Moshe and in terms of that. Okay. Is the text of the Sefer HaBrit in the Torah itself? That's a great question. I believe the answer is yes. I believe it's at the end of Perek Chav, it's in the middle of Perek Chav Gimel. It's a formula, right? It's a formula that involves a series of mitzvot. I'll just give you the formula. We have no time to analyze it right now. The mitzvot include Shabbat, or the sanctity of the seven, prohibition of Avodah Zarah, and Shalosh Regalim. Those mitzvot that appear at the end of the list of mitzvot. Just take those, right? Those three pieces. There's Avodah Zarah, Shabbat, or the Sanctified Seven, and Shalosh Regalim. And if you take a look in Parashat Ki Tisa, with the renewal of the Brit, you'll find those three pieces of the formula exactly.
Surely also the Yovel. Don't you think also the Yovel is a key part of the Sefer HaBrit?
So truth is, in the parasha that we read yesterday, we also have a version of the Sefer. It's an expanded version. Okay. That Sefer HaBrit is actually built on the foundation of the one that's in Perek Chof Gimel, because that one actually highlights the Sanctified Seven and highlights Shemitah. Bahar is Shemitah, and then the Sefer HaBrit in Parashat Bechukotai is an expansion of what happens if Bnei Yisrael don't keep the Sanctified Seven. So I think that that is the formula, right, of the Brit. And why that's the formula for Brit? So that's a whole different that's a whole different discussion.
Okay, Rabbi. Well, thank you. I think
I have a question, if I might ask, Rabbi. Excuse me.
Okay, quickly.
Okay,
very quickly.
If we should have been prepared in 2 days instead of 3 days, is our observance of Shavuot 1 day later than it should be?
That's a great question. And here's the thing. When we say, you know, our Masorah says that Shavuot is on Vav Nisan. Vav Sivan. And that's what we celebrate. The Gemara gives a whole timeline of how that could possibly have happened. But in the Gemara, it's not so clear. Gemara Masechet Shabbat that gives us that timeline, right? There are alternate opinions there. So when we say Zman Matan Torah Tenu, it might be on that day, It might be, well, it happened where in a time, it could have been a day beforehand or a day afterwards. And what I'm suggesting then is even more than that, that Zman Matan Toratenu is not a single day. There is an extended, Matan Torah is an extended event. It begins with revelation. It continues maybe a day later, maybe later on that same day with Aseret HaDibrot. It continues sometime later with Parshat Mishpatim. We don't know how long that whole thing took. And then sometime after that, Moshe creates this covenantal ceremony, which we know is at least one more day beyond when Hashem tells him, okay, time to come back up the mountain. So Zman Matan Toratenu could have been a whole week.
Okay, Rabbi, thank you. I just let
I
people
know. Rabbi Jay?
Yes.
Okay.
No, thank you. We have a little break now. We're going to take
I want to add something for Tzvi. No, people can take a break.
Tzvi, the two of you.
No, what Tzvi just said, I'm going to continue your shared Tzvi. I mean, we talked about this beforehand. I figured that was going to be.
Yes, we did.
But what Tzvi just explained is a very good reason to keep 2 days Shavuot. Right, based on the question, you know, if you keep 2 days Shavuot, you don't have a problem.
I'm planning to keep 2 days Shavuot.
And,
you guys are
and that's why
one.
A lot of people don't make Aliyah, because when you come to Israel, you only have 1 day. Right. It's much better to keep 2 days. So to make sure Shavuot, we cover our bases and Shavuot is kept properly, they would love to make Aliyah, but they stay overseas.
There you go.
And mitzchut on those
okay, we're going
to
take
I do my best. I do my best to go to Chutzlars to keep 2 days Shavuot every year.
Okay, I was just going to say, Tzvi, I mentioned at the beginning, it's been a while. That's because he's been very, very busy. But I keep asking, when will he give a series? He's busy, busy. So he just told me, he just put in his the manuscript, whatever you call it, for Sefer Shmot. You know, he wrote a fantastic book on Bereshit for Koran, the Koran book on Bereshit. So he just gave in the first draft, I guess. I don't know how many drafts you have to do, but of Shmot. So he should have a little bit free time. And I'm guessing some of this will come up in your book, even though I haven't seen the manuscript. I imagine it will be there, correct? And
very good guess. You should play the stock market.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let's everybody take a few minute break. We'll start a couple minutes late, 11:32, 11:33, just so people can, you know, get a cup of coffee, and we'll see you all soon. Thank you very much, and invite your friends. It's 11:30. Those who are in New York and aren't going to Israel, if you go to the Israel Day Parade now, stay there. But if you're not in New York, you're not going, and please invite your friends to come join us for the second half of the program. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. See you soon.